Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Did you by any chance see the great review that Jenny Scheinman got in the New York Times just before the holiday weekend began? She played here in New York with guitarist Bill Frisell and drummer Brian Blade, both of whom are fantastic musicians in their own right. And if you read that Times review, you might have been thinking, geez, I wish I could have heard them. Well, now you can, because they'll be playing for us shortly. Now, in case you hadn't noticed, it is summer. And Emma Straub's new novel, The Vacationers, seems to be this summer's big beach read. Emma has picked three songs for us, and she'll share her Pick 3 playlist later on the show. To begin, though, let's look back at another summer. Throughout this month, Soundcheck is revisiting the summer of 1994, and we're asking you, where were you 20 years ago, and what were you listening to? Sue from Jackson Heights called in and told us what she was listening to in the summer of 94, and it was a pretty comprehensive list. Take it away, Sue.
Luscious Jackson.
Girl, you can't stop me now. I will be the one who keeps you around.
Delight.
All day, in my mind, I replay second time the charm.
Of course, Nirvana, but also some Pink Floyd. Metallica.
So tear me open, pull me out. The things inside that scream and shout.
And of course, the Pulp Fiction soundtrack. All the time. And Liz Phair. Yeah. Thanks.
The song Supernova by Liz Phair, one of the artists that our listener Sue in Jackson Heights was listening to in the summer of 1994. Tell us what you were doing and what you were listening to by leaving us a voicemail at 866-939-1612 or post a comment on soundcheck.org. That number again, 866-939-1612. I'm willing to bet that at least some of you spent the summer of 94 listening to this song, Stay, by Lisa Loeb and Nine Stories. 20 years ago, this song was everywhere. It was on the soundtrack to the film Reality Bites, the video was all over MTV, and it was a number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100 for 3 weeks that August. Now, other songs had longer runs at number one, but something made Lisa Loeb different. She wasn't signed to a label. Joining us to talk about this song and its remarkable durability are Mario Correa and Julia Cunningham. Together they host Entertainment Weekly Radio on Sirius XM. Guys, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having us.
So why did you guys pick, Julia, this song for the summer of 94?
I mean, why didn't we pick this song in the summer of 94? I mean, I was only 9, almost 10 years old, but it still left an impression on me. There's like a handful of songs that I remember from my childhood. This is one of them because it holds up. It could have been released this summer. It has that kind of core strength to its lyrics.
And for you, Mario?
You know, I was recently out of college at the time, and I remember I so identified with Lisa Loeb and her desire to be recognized, and she was independent and earnest and self-referential, and she just spoke to me, John, and she still does.
Yeah.
This is the beginning of the song called Stay, I Missed You.
say. I only hear what I want to. You say I talk so all the time. So
Loeb with her huge hit song Stay from that summer 20 years ago, the summer of 94. Mario, how unusual was it for this song to hit number one then?
Oh, it was very unusual. In fact, it was a first because she was not signed to a label at the time. She was lucky enough, though, to live down the street from Ethan Hawke. She gave Ethan Hawke a cassette of a song she had written a couple years earlier that she'd intended, by the way, for Hall & Oates, but never actually gave them. She instead gave it to her neighbor, Ethan Hawke. He loved the song. He took it to Ben Stiller, who at that time was directing the movie Reality Bites, which became sort of the voice of the Gen X generation. They decided to include it in the film. It became a number one hit in the pop charts. She wasn't even signed to a label. She had no record deal, and she had a number one hit on the pop charts.
How? I mean, just physically, how were people getting the song?
Oh, well, it was on the soundtrack. And
so all through soundtrack sales.
All through the soundtrack sales. In fact, and she, you know, she's held on to that record of being the only unsigned artist to have a number one just until Thrift Shop. Macklemore and Lewis did it. And until then, she was the only one to hold that distinction.
And Julia, is it a good song after all that?
The thing is that this is the type of song that holds up. The core of the song, the lyrics and the structure seem kind of like a simple pop song, but if you strip it down even more, if it's just acoustic guitar and you'll see there's a ton of YouTube covers, yep. It stands up. That's why I'm saying it could be released today and it could still be a hit.
Now, the video could also be released today because it looks like it was shot with a budget of about $12.
This music video.
It's amazing. Julia and I were just talking about how you were watching it, Julia, on the subway on your way to here.
Yeah, and I was kind of like covering my phone just a little bit because I didn't want people watching me watch Lisa Loeb. But the music video is great.
It's amazing. When you hear those chords when the song begins, I want to run into an empty Manhattan apartment, run around with a long camera shot. I want a cat to dart in front of me. I want my cat eye glasses to convey my pain. It just comes right back to you.
Yeah, it was directed by Ethan Hawke, who again was her friend. They did it as a one-take shot throughout the entire apartment. And Mario and I love to direct it as we watch it. You know, there's all these scenes where you can tell he's going, Lisa, wink at me, but don't actually wink at me. Just represent that emotion. Now turn, run,
throw the
Lisa.
Cat, throw the cat. No,
run.
No, the cat's in the wrong place.
Faster, another room, go.
Faster, this way, turn right, turn
no,
left,
look,
left,
look
left.
At me. Yeah. Oh, you can only imagine what happened in that room.
We asked her about it when she appeared on our show on Sirius XM. We asked her about it, and she talked about spending all day shooting that video, but it was one continuous shot each time, and how they'd have to throw Ethan Hawke's cat. It was his cat in at just the right time, so the cat would make the appearance right in the shot and then reappear later.
So well before OK Go did their big one-take wonders, their videos.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
whatever. Lisa Loeb.
It's all about Lisa Loeb.
All right. Mario Correa and Julia Cunningham, co-hosts of Entertainment Weekly Radio on Sirius XM, here on Soundcheck, looking back at the summer of 94, and one of the signature songs of that summer 20 years ago was Lisa Loeb's Stay. Before we get too far away from the video, and if I can ask this question without a lot of shouting resulting, I'll be very happy. What did this do for the image of women with glasses, that video?
Oh,
Lisa Loeb with her...
I think it was the beginning of a very important genre of music, the sexy librarian school of music. And really, I mean, it did make it okay. I remember that summer thinking, wow. I remember she'd gone to Brown University. Her whole story was like really well known because it was like an unsigned artist. She went to college. She was like a smart singer-songwriter in New York who was discovered by Ethan Hawke. It was like this fantasy of 20-somethings.
Yeah, she wasn't a dum-dum.
Right. That our brilliance would be discovered by a star down the street and we'd all be be like famous, you know? So I think it really
You're going to start shouting again, aren't you?
Oh, I know. I'm thinking like, oh, I loved it. And as a child, I don't think I knew her name. I just knew the girl in the glasses. And I mean, she's smart enough now that she has her own line of eyewear.
Oh, yeah.
What you got to do.
Yeah.
Right? Brand yourself, girl.
Each one named after a separate Lisa Loeb song. And she told us on our show that, in fact, she's releasing the Stay glasses this summer, the Stay cat-eyed glasses, in honor of the 20th anniversary of the song.
All right. Now, as you've mentioned several times, you guys have interviewed Lisa Loeb recently for your Entertainment Weekly radio show on SiriusXM. And so let's hear a clip. Now, here Lisa talks to you guys about how the song really was everywhere.
People sing it to me a lot, too, which is hilarious. God. Like, people stop me all the time to say, oh, my gosh, tell me that song. Oh, wait, let me sing it to you. Everybody, and it's awesome. I've seen, like, drag queen versions. I've seen little children with glasses singing it. I've seen men and women and a cappella singing groups. And
right.
It always reminds me of my early days here in New York City in the 90s.
Well, as if to kind of drive home the point of just how much staying power the song Stay by Lisa Loeb has, there are many, many covers on YouTube, and this one is a ukulele version by one Aria Clemente, and yes, she's wearing glasses.
You say, I talk so all the time, so
is one of the many YouTube covers of Lisa Loeb's 1994 hit, Stay. Aria Clemente playing the ukulele. There's another clip of somebody playing, you know, some real rock-style drumming and singing along, bass player, guys singing, a girl singing.
Oh, yeah. It goes all over. But, you know, I think that that version needs a cat. I feel like there was something missing, and that was a cat darting across the shot.
I didn't feel the presence of a cat. Yeah, you're right, Mario.
You can still, of course, find the original video by Lisa Loeb and Ethan Hawke's cat for the song Stay, I Missed You. Big hit that summer 20 years ago, the summer of 94 that we've been looking back at on Soundcheck this month. So you guys did have Lisa Loeb in the studio for your show. What is she up to now?
She's still active. I mean, she still tours, and what's refreshing is she still loves Stay. You know, a lot of times people are burnt out on their song and play it because they know they have to. She loves it, which I think is kind of what makes her such a great person and great artist live still, is that she's still passionate about it.
Yeah,
she gets it.
And she's still recording. She recorded a song called This Is the 90s about having become famous through Stay. And then that song she plays talks about the making of the video. So she has embraced it, like Julia said, and that's really nice because there's nothing worse than like a star who's made by one song who refuses to play that song, you know?
We want to hear the hit.
Mario Correa and Julia Cunningham are the co-hosts of Entertainment Weekly Radio on SiriusXM, and we've been revisiting with them a big song from that summer of 94, Lisa Loeb's Stay. Mario, Julia, we'll see you again.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So I turned the radio on, I turned the radio on, and this woman was singing my song. Lover's in love and the others run away. Lover is crying cause the other won't stay. Some of us hover and we weep for the other who was dying since the day they were born. Well, well, this is not that thing that I'm throwing, but I'm thrown.
Got a different take on the Lisa Loeb song Stay? Or a story you want to share? Leave us a voicemail at 866-939-1612. You just might hear yourself on the show. Up next, Emma Straub joins us to talk about her new novel, The Vacationers, and she'll share her Pick 3 playlist. And later, singer-songwriter and violinist Jenny Scheinman, backed by guitarist Bill Frisell and drummer Brian Blade. This is Soundcheck.
Three, that's a magic number.
Three.
It is. It's the magic number.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Joining me for today's Pick 3 playlist is the Brooklyn-based author Emma Straub. If you've been to a pool or the beach lately, chances are you've seen someone diving into her new book. It's a summary read appropriately entitled The Vacationers. Emma, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you so much for having me.
You have juxtaposed the beauty of the Spanish island of Mallorca with this messy, messy family. You know, everybody's dealing with infidelity in one way or another. Did you go to Mallorca? Did you actually get to go to the island to research this?
I did indeed. Lucky for me, I got to go to Mallorca for a couple of weeks. But unfortunately, I didn't get to go in the summertime because I was pregnant and my book was due and the baby was due. And so I was working against a couple of different deadlines.
Yeah. Now, in putting together your Pick 3 playlist for us today, you begin with a band that you have been associated with for a long time. And longtime listeners to Soundcheck have heard Stephen Merritt and the band Magnetic Fields here in our studio on numerous occasions over the years. You've actually been here with him, right?
Yes, I have. I've been lots of places with Stephen. I was his personal assistant for many years. And after that, I would go on tour with him with my husband. My husband and I were the merch team, and so we traveled around with the band sold the T-shirts. So I've been working for the Magnetic Fields for about a decade now.
Mm-hmm. And at one point, Claudia Gonson, who is, you know, his sort of right-hand woman, had a baby, and you were the babysitter down the hall.
Yes, I was the babysitter down the hall.
So is the Magnetic Fields, I mean, is this a band that you were a fan of before you got to know Stephen and the rest of them?
Yeah, so I went to Oberlin College from 1998 to 2002, and I think if you were a student at Oberlin in those years, it was a requirement that you be a fan of the Magnetic Fields. You didn't have to get grades, and you didn't have to wear shoes, but you did have to listen to the Magnetic Fields. And then I worked in publishing very, very briefly after I graduated. And then my father had a few friends in common with Stephen, and I heard that he was looking for a personal assistant, and I quit my job at the publishing company and signed right up and, you know, alphabetized things for him and bought dog food and bought lots of brown clothing. He only wears brown. It's the best job I've ever had.
Well, and the song that you picked for us is Desert Island, which, I mean, Mallorca is not a desert island, but there is something sort of deserted about, at one point or another, about every character in this story.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. Yes. And I chose a few lines from this song as an epigraph for my book. And yes, they were nice enough to let me use it. Mm-hmm. They didn't charge me.
And what lines are those?
I'll be the desert island where you can be free. I'll be the vulture you can catch and eat. So it's, you know, beautiful, slightly sinister.
Typical Stephen Merritt.
Typical Stephen, and I think it sets the tone nicely.
Stephen Merritt and his band The Magnetic Fields with Desert Island from their 1994 album Holiday, picked for us on Soundcheck today by Emma Straub, the author of the new book The Vacationers, as well as Laura Lamont's Life and Pictures, and a short story collection called Other People We Married. She's here with me in the Soundcheck studio sharing her Pick 3 playlist. And I suppose if Stephen sang that song now, it'd be an octave lower. It's weird hearing his voice that high, relatively speaking. In 2012, you wrote a blog for the Paris Review about your experiences touring with the Magnetic Fields, including the books that each of them were reading. Yeah. Are they all big readers?
They are. They are. They are a highly, highly literate band. Mm-hmm. You really couldn't find a better group of people to travel around with.
And as you mentioned before we heard that clip, Stephen said, fine, use a couple of lines from that song as an epigram for the book. Do you listen to music while you're writing?
I don't, actually. I wish I could. My husband is a graphic designer and listens to loud music all day. My father is a fiction writer, and he listens to very loud music while he writes. But I just can't do it. I wish I could. I would have so much more time to listen to music. Mm. But yeah, I find lyrics really distracting because I love lyrics and I love paying attention to them. And if I'm paying attention to them, then I find myself transcribing things.
Right,
instead.
Right. But do you sometimes have lyrics kind of whether you want them or not? Sort of circling through your head? Do you find that happening as you're in the process
of
writing?
Yeah, I do. I definitely always have a few things sort of circling around in my head as I'm beginning a project. I do love music, and I definitely think about what the characters are listening to and that sort of thing. In this book, the characters are often driving around Mallorca, and there's always some like disco on the radio, which is actually true in my experience, that you can always find Elton John or the Bee Gees on the radio in Mallorca. So I was thinking about that sort of music as I was writing.
In your personal backstory for each of these characters, mm-hmm. do you know what they're listening to? Do you have sort of...
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Sylvia, who's an 18-year-old girl in the book, I think she's listening to a lot of, like, you know, sort of Riot Girl stuff, probably. She's a little angry. She's a feminist. She really wants to lose her virginity but can't figure out how to do that. She's having a lot of feelings. So I think she's probably listening to something fairly aggressive.
Uh-huh. What about Franny, who is the matriarch of the clan?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, so there's some Elton John and some Bee Gees. I think Franny's more into, like, the light FM sort of zone. She would say that she listened to such things ironically, but I think between us, she really likes it.
And what about Jim, her husband, who opens the book having made a kind of double whammy of mistakes.
Yeah. I think Jim probably sets his radio onto NPR and then doesn't touch it for the rest of the day. Maybe he listens, maybe he doesn't. I don't see him as being so musical. Maybe he listens to a classical station, but doesn't quite pay attention enough.
So. In your playlist for us today, your pick three, you picked this song from Beyoncé. Of the characters in your book, are there any who would be listening to this track?
I think Sylvia. Yeah, my 18-year-old Sylvia, and probably her older brother Bobby would too, but he would miss the point. He would miss the point entirely.
Uh-huh. Bobby is on the island with his family with his much older personal trainer girlfriend.
Yeah. She might listen to Beyoncé also, but I'm not sure if she would sort of get the message.
It seems pretty clear that she doesn't get a lot of messages.
She doesn't get most of the messages from the family. That's true.
The song is flawless. What is the message?
As I mentioned, I had a baby recently, and I've been thinking a lot about working women and how women make it all happen. And obviously, I'm sure Beyoncé has excellent childcare. But when I hear this song, I think about a woman who works really, really hard and who's aware that she's supposed to wake up feeling a certain way and looking a certain way, and maybe she doesn't. And maybe she does. Maybe she really can be this tough and you know, support her family and just do her thing. I love Beyoncé. I think she is an icon for the ages. I am a big fan.
From the album called Beyoncé, the surprise release that she dropped on us last year, this is the song called Flawless.
We flawless. Ladies, tell them, say, I'm
So that's a little bit of Flawless from Beyoncé, picked for us by Emma Straub, the author of the new book The Vacationers, who is sharing her Pick 3 playlist for us. When you go on vacation, do you pack an iPod and a, you know, little dock or whatever?
Yeah, I do. My husband is sort of is the DJ in the family, so he's sort of in charge of that. But that song actually is my 10-month-old son's favorite song.
How do you know?
Because he bounces rhythmically.
Yeah. Okay.
We always have music playing and. Yeah.
Now, you referred to your dad before, and it has taken me like 5 minutes to put two and two together. Your dad is Peter Straub.
He is.
And was there music in the house when he was writing? And if so, was it like really kind of spooky music?
Scary music, and like Halloween sound effects? No. My dad is a true jazz fan, like super fan. And so, you know, Paul Desmond blasting at top volume from, you know, morning till night, and then through the night, really. Jazz and opera, both.
So when Horace Silver died recently, did you see the obit and think, one of Dad's old guys?
I feel really lucky to have grown up with parents who really loved music as much as my parents do, because I learned, like, I know, you know, every jazz standard by heart because I heard them all so much as a child, and it's very gratifying for me, you know, I feel like I have, it's like reading the Bible or something, like I feel like I just have access to all of these stories that have existed and that other people can sort of interpret and I don't know. I feel really lucky to have grown up with a lot of jazz in my house.
We're speaking with Emma Straub. She's sharing her Pick 3 playlist with us on Soundcheck today. You seem to like all of your characters, flawed as they may be. Is that true?
It is absolutely true. I love them. I don't just like them. I love them. I feel very close to them, even the ones who are really at fault.
Yeah.
And some of them are. But I think one of my favorite parts of writing this book was getting inside each of their heads so that I wasn't, treating any of them as a scapegoat, really. I was interested in, you know, how does it feel not only to be the person who is wronged, but also to be the person who has done wrong and to sort of have to face, the consequences of those actions.
And that's kind of that's kind of a deep thing for a book that's being marketed quite successfully, I might add, as a beach read.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the whole beach read thing?
I think that my book has the most beautiful book jacket, and it looks like a confection, and I couldn't love it more. If people buy my book and bring it to the beach, I am thrilled. I am thrilled.
Can they judge this book by its cover?
They do go to the beach occasionally. They go swimming. There's a lot of swimming in the pool, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So sure. And
you're in Mallorca, surrounded by the Mediterranean, and you're swimming in the pool.
I know.
What is that?
They're up on a mountain. You know, the house is up on a mountain, and it's so hot. You don't want to have to drive on these circuitous roads all the way to the beach, elbow your way through the sand. You know.
Yeah. Now, Emma, you're New York born, living in Brooklyn, but you've spent time recently in Nashville, right?
Yes, I did. I just spent a semester in Nashville teaching a creative writing class at Vanderbilt University.
Mm-hmm. Does that explain where your Pick 3 playlist leaves us today?
It does. It does indeed. Now, I love this song so much. So, yeah.
This sounds like something out of one of your dad's books, actually. Don't put dirt on my grave just yet. Tell us where this...
Yeah, so I am a really big fan of the television program Nashville, starring Connie Britton, my personal goddess. And when my husband and I and baby and I went to Nashville this spring for me to teach, I thought, okay, I just need to find the cast of Nashville. That is what is going to make this sojourn totally worth it. And it took me a long time, but eventually I did manage, thanks to my friend Nikki and my friend Blair, get a ticket to a concert at the Ryman Theater in Nashville that was the cast performing songs that they would then sort of later edit together and air.
And put into the show.
Yeah, and it was phenomenal. What I love the most about Nashville, the city, and Nashville, the show, is how the songwriters really are the stars. If you drive down Music Row in Nashville, which is, you know, this street where there are all these little bungalows filled with songwriters and producers and publishing houses.
It's a horizontal Brill building.
Yeah, it is.
The vertical one we had here in New York.
Exactly. And they have enormous posters up celebrating, you know, this songwriter who's just written this hit for somebody. But they don't even say, you know, Emma Straub wrote this song for Taylor Swift. They just say, Emma Straub wrote this song. Hooray, it's a hit.
Is that your fantasy to have written a song for someone like Taylor Swift?
No, it's not. I have absolutely zero musical aspirations myself, I swear. But I do love that Nashville really loves its songwriters and appreciates them. And this evening that I got to go to at the Ryman was the songwriters appearing with the stars of the show. And I love this song that Hayden Panettiere sings on the show. I like to call her Hayden Panettiere because it's more fun. But
Hayden Panettiere sings as she's the country pop starlet Juliet Barnes on Nashville. And the song is called Don't Put Dirt on My Grave Just Yet. Picked for us by Emma Straub, the author whose new book is The Vacationers. It is a big summer hit, and Emma's been sharing her playlist with us on Soundcheck today. Emma, good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
This time it's goodbye trouble. I feel the light at the end of this tunnel. I get stronger with every step. Come hell, come high water, you push on me, I'm gonna push back harder. I got a whole lot more than a little bit left. Oh, so don't put dirt on my grave just yet.
Up next, violinist and singer Jenny Scheinman joins us here in the studio, along with ace guitarist Bill Frisell and drummer Brian Blade. They'll play songs off of Jenny's new album called The Littlest Prisoner, next on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Violinist and singer Jenny Scheinman probably isn't the first expectant mother to feel like she had a little prisoner inside. A moment in her pregnancy 2 years ago inspired this title track of her latest album called Littlest Prisoner, which features guitarist Bill Frisell and drummer Brian Blade, a pretty potent trio, and they are all here in our studio today to play some of the songs off of The Littlest Prisoner. Starting with one called Just a Child, here's Jenny Scheinman and her trio live on Soundcheck.
Way out west there is a place where nothing changes. If you're born there, you will always be a child. Just veer off the highway 40 miles from Ferndale. A long and winding road will take you there. And every day the earthquakes rattle dishes, mudslides and homeboys getting trashed. The police never had the nerve to try to instruct us. They're just waiting it out to see how long we last. See the cherry blossoms drifting down the valley like a snowstorm in the middle of the spring.
disappearing as we sing, sing and sing of the past that's disappearing as we sing. Moonlight in the open cattle pastures, my shoes are dripping wet from all the dew. Horses in their silhouetted statues, they're dreaming 'cause there's nothing else to do. And supposedly the rednecks hate the hippies, but after 30 years it's hard to tell who's who. And I can't remember if Mom or Dad was with us when that bale of cocaine sank in the lagoon. Waterfalls fall down from the mountain, the winter's wet, the summer never rains. A little bit of paradise surrounds us where we grow up thinking Mother Nature's kin. Nature's kin, where we grow up thinking Mother Nature's kin. I don't have to go back there, I just shut my eyes and breathe the air. But if I were to take you there, you'd see me as a child. You know that none of this matters, 'cause you're still just a child.
Humility.
That is Jenny Scheinman and her song Just a Child. It appears on her latest album, The Littlest Prisoner, with this trio playing live here in the studio. Bill Frizzell on guitar, Brian Blade behind the drums, adding some backing vocals, and of course Jenny Scheinman singing and playing the violin pizzicato style on that song. Again, the song called Just a Child. And Jenny, the last time you were on Soundcheck, you were very much with child. That would have been your daughter Rosa, right?
That would have been Rosa.
That's so she's what now, 2, 3?
Rosa turned 2 on May 21st.
Very nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So family seems to be very much the order of the day on this record. There are numerous songs that talk about family members, titles that refer to children and brothers, etc.
Mm-hmm.
What about this song, Just a Child? Because it tells a kind of a story of a little town in maybe Northern California, and then there's a little sting in the tale at the end. You know, the father who's not there.
Yeah, this song was a dream, and, you know, I feel like I'm still puzzling out who's in it, and there are a whole lot of people in it. Even Bill is in it, and, you know, in that third verse, the only verse that happens in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole bunch of people from my life here in it. But yes, the first two long verses are language about the area where I grew up, which is Northern California, and the area where I grew up, you know, among horses and mud and sort of wandering around in the countryside.
Yeah.
And the father in it, that's something that I'm still puzzling out. But, you know, I wrote it after a long trip with my father and right before a long tour with Rodney Crowell, who I didn't know very well. I had just known for a few days before I wrote this song and before I went on that tour. And, you know, I think in looking at this song, there's a lot of father figures in it and a lot of people that I've worked with,
right,
that have had a very supportive and loving role in my musical life. And my father has had a very supportive and loving role in my musical life. However, you know, I was away from him for 20 years living in New York City, and he was off. He's a sort of country doctor, and mm-hmm. he was off sewing up cowgirls in the mountains of rural Humboldt County. So
right.
He was gone. And
so that lyric was ripped from real life, from the
yes.
headlines of the family newspaper, I guess. So the album's called The Littlest Prisoner, which is a reference to, you know, the last time you were here, having your daughter inside you. And so that might have been the sort of the genesis, but then that song turned into something completely different too.
Yes, The Littlest Prisoner, yes, I was very pregnant when I wrote it. I was quite feverish, and I was having this sort of... you know, how you get a little bit hallucinatory
yes.
when you're very sick. And I couldn't take any pain meds because I was pregnant. And yeah, anyway, this idea of the being imprisoned in the body came into my head, and it morphed into a song which isn't about me. It's really from the perspective of a pregnant inmate who's speaking very lovingly to her child, and she's kind of a toughie. She's going to be in there for a long time. The child, once it leaves her body, will be taken away as
yeah.
most children are from pregnant inmates. And who knows whether she'll see the child mm-hmm. again. But it's a very sort of tender address to her child while she still owns it.
Yeah. Well, now, this is your 8th record, but it's only the 2nd in which you've been a singer-songwriter. You know, we've known you as a violinist. You've played with Bill's band for a long time. What's it like to have Bill now playing for you?
It's just heavenly. It's so wonderful. And to have Brian as well, who I've listened to for so long but not played with nearly as much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bill is very supportive and just lifts it off just immediately. I feel like it can be totally liberated from the song, you know,
mm-hmm.
something really
mm-hmm.
open and also something that is about the song. It's both at the same time. And it's such a long relationship that...
Plus now you get to boss him around.
I try. I don't know if I do a very good job of that.
J- Jenny Scheinman's with us with her trio, Bill Frisell on guitar, Brian Blade on drums, both of them noted band leaders, composers, musicians in their own right. But this is a trio that has done some really terrific work. What about the song Run, Run, Run? Where does this come from?
Run, Run, Run is a sort of a relationship song about asking to commit, saying we're just playing around here. What about the idea of till death do we part? And if not, what are we doing? It's sort of the intrigue of that. And it comes out in the form of a sort of threat to the partner saying, blank or get off the pot.
Fish or cut bait, I think, is the way we might say that. And yet, all set to this really kind of genial music. You want to play it for us?
Sure.
Jenny Scheinman, singer, violinist, Bill Frisell on guitar, Brian Blade behind our drum kit. From the album The Littlest Prisoner, the song is called Run, Run, Run. Here's another live performance on Soundcheck.
When you gonna pack your suitcase and run, 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 run away from me? When you gonna give your final farewell? Twilight will be falling as your plane catches air. What you gonna tell your mother when you get home? Standing in the doorway, kind of slumped against the frame. She will look up from the table. Will she laugh or will she cry? There's always time to reckon in the sky by and by. You're gonna run, 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 run away from me. You're gonna run, 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 run away from me. Who's gonna have your children if you don't? Keeping it all inside you so no one gets numb. You got a real pretty face. Keep it to yourself. Give back to God. Give back to God. Who's gonna get your money when you kick the bucket? Got no wife and children, so you're kinda out of luck. It's on the train going nowhere. You'll reach the end of time. Staring out the window at the cedar and the pine. You're gonna
done. Jenny Scheinman with a song called Run, Run, Run with Bill Frisell and Brian Blade on guitar and drums, respectively. From the album The Littlest Prisoner, which is out now, they're playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio today. And this next song is called Houston, Once again, Jenny Scheinman and the trio live on Soundcheck.
It's raining in Houston and we just touched down. There's all sorts of damage you can't see from the ground. Tarps are on the rooftop, spread for miles and miles. The rain falls down into their big blue eyes. I've got a heartache that stretches all the way to my hand. Maybe an acupuncturist could tell me what's in your left hand. If it's connected to the heart, connected to the ear, 'cause the sound of his voice calls a hurricane here. Montgomery, Alabama, Memphis, Tennessee, this delicious little hurt. I was quiet at dinner, quiet on the walk. Your dogs were all big love. You threw sticks into the dark. I was so scared and nervous, I just sat there in the leaves, pulled the hood of my jacket up and watched a soul.
Called Houston, another song from singer and violinist and songwriter Jenny Scheinman, Bill Frizzell on guitar, Brian Blade behind our drum kit and some backing vocals as well. Live here in the Soundcheck studio, and Jenny Scheinman's latest record is called The Littlest Prisoner. The songs that we've been hearing are on that record with this trio as well. And Jenny, always a pleasure to see you and the guys. Thanks so much for coming in and playing for us today.
Thank you so much.
Don't forget, take a minute to share a memory for our Summer of 94 project. We want you to think back to that summer 20 years ago and tell us what you were doing and what you were listening to. Leave your story at 866-939-1612 or post it on soundcheck.org. Back in 1994, the band Blur released the album Park Life. Tomorrow on the show, we'll hear about that album and the beginnings of Britpop, when we dive into the Soundcheck Guide to Blur. Plus, live music from Au Revoir Simone, and we'll unearth a Bob Dylan recording from the WNYC archives. That'll do it for today. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.